Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Kuf Hei Amud Aleph, three lines down. Rav Chananya Bar Shalmaya, V'Talmidei D'Rav, Aviyat V'Bisudoto. They were eating together. V'Kaya Layu, Rav Amnuna Asaba. And Rav Huna Asaba was waitering to them, servicing them. Amrulei, Zil Chazi, Imakdish Yoma. Go out and see if it's Shabbat already. V'Nafsik, V'Nikve L'Shabto. And then we'll stop, and we'll make this into a Shabbat meal. Amalahu, Lotzrichitu. You don't have to do that. Shabto, Kavalinafsha. Shabbat establishes itself. Damarav, Rav says, Kishem Shabbat Kovad Maaser. Just like Shabbat is Koveya for Maaser, Kach Shabbat Kovad Kiddush. So too, Shabbat is Koveya for Kiddush. So, the Gemara here has an interchange here between the Talmidei D'Rav and Rav Amnuna Saba. There was a havamino of the Talmidim that they had to stop and do something because of what was transpiring. And then Rav Amnuna Saba says, you don't have to do that because that's not what Rav thinks. And the proof to that is a connection between Shabbat and Maaser. Now, the Rishonim read this differently. We have the Rashbam here, Rashi, and the Rashbam read it one way. We have the Rif, and then supported by the Ramban, because the Baal HaMor disagrees with the Rif. You have the Rif and the Ramban, who have a position, and then you have the Baal HaMor and the Rosh, who have an alternative position. So we'll work through each one of these positions. According to the Rashbam and Rashi over here, they said, go outside and see if it's time for Shabbat, because if it's time for Shabbat, we have to do Akirat HaShulchan. We have to stop the meal, take away the table, and then begin the meal from the start almost. We have to make Kiddush and start the meal. Akirat HaShulchan. The response of Rav Amnuna Saba was, no, you don't have to do Akirat HaShulchan. It's enough to do Pares Mapo Mikadesh. You simply have to put a cloth on top of the table where you're eating, make Kiddush, and then continue your meal. So this is what we saw earlier in the Perek, the Machloket about whether you have to be Mafsik or not Mafsik. And even if you have to be Mafsik, what does that mean? Do you have to stop when you're going into Shabbat with a meal? Do you have to actually take the table away and start as if it's from new? Or do you just put on a tablecloth to give a figurative stop to the meal, make Kiddush, and then continue on with your meal? So their discussion revolves around that. They thought the Havamina that you require Akirat HaShulchan. Rav Nuna Saba tells me you don't. You just need Pares Mapa Umikadesh. So then he brings a proof from Maaser to that, which is just like by Shabbat, it's Koveya LeMaaser. Shabbat changes the status of Maaser. The rule with regards to Maaser is that if you eat an Achilat Keva, if you eat a meal from it that's a fixed meal, then you have to take off Chumot Umasrot. On the other hand, if you only have a snack, you have an Achilat Arai from it, then you do not have to take off Chumot and Masrot. That's only true when it's not Shabbat. But if it is Shabbat already, there is no such thing as a snack or Achilat Arai on Shabbat. And that, as the Rashbam explains, is because since on Shabbat there is a necessity for Oneg, then any eating which qualifies as Oneg on Shabbat already becomes a significant Seuda or a Keva, a fixed eating, and that would require the removal of Chumot and Masrot. Over here, the Rashbam has the Girsa. This is about Afila Rai Mitzvah Shelo Nigmara Melachata. It's only talking about items who have yet to reach the point when they're Chayav in Masrot. Although the Gilyan Ashas and many of the Rishonim disagree and think that it should be even after Gemar Malacha based on the Gemara in Beitza. But then, if Shabbat is Koveya for Masrot, then similarly over here, you have to stop your meal when it comes to Shabbat, because Shabbat changes the dynamic or the nature of the meal. It changes it for Masrot. It also changes it from, if you're eating in a weekday going into Shabbat, the Shabbat itself will change it. Now, you don't have to do Akirat HaShulchan. It simply forces you to make Kiddush at that point in time. And that's what you have to do. Pares Mapa Umikadesh. That's the way the Rashi and the Rashbam read it. On the other hand, the Rif and the Ramban suggest that the question was about when exactly does Shabbat begin for this principle of having to do Kiddush when you're in the middle of a meal starting on Friday that extends all the way into Shabbat. So the Rif has a slightly different girsa in our Gemara, which is Zil Ayin Inaga Yoma. Go see if the day is over. Meaning that we have to stop our meal once it's Seita Kochavim. Once the stars are out, we'll have to stop our meal because it's Shabbat. So go check if it's really nighttime outside. Now Rav Amnuna comes back to them and says, that's not true. You already have to stop prior to that. You have to stop once it's Ben HaShemashot. Once you're after Shkia, you already have a problem and you have to stop your meal. How do I know that? But that's based on the Gemara in Shabbat, Daf Lamed Daled, the Mishnayot that we say on Friday night from Bamei Madlikim, which is Safek Enech Hashecha, Eimas Rimet Avadai. If it's Safek Hashecha, Safek Enech Hashecha, it's a case where there's a Ben Hashmashot, you no longer can take off Masrot from something that Vadai requires Masrot. Meaning that it's already Shabbat once you reach that point of Ben Hashmashot. So if it's already Shabbat at Ben Hashmashot for Masrot, so too for Shabbat itself, for Kiddush, at Ben Hashmashot, you're going to have a requirement of Kiddush. That is the way that the Rif and the Ramban learned. The Baal HaMor and the Rosh actually learned just the opposite of them. They said, asked the question, the Talmid Rav said, well, please go see Imaktish Yoma. Did the day start already? So once a day has started, I mean, once it's Shkia, we need to make Kiddush. And then Rav Nuna's response to them is that that's not the case. You don't have to stop at Seder Kochavim. You don't have to stop when it's fully nightfall. Because based on the Gemara and Beitza, Gemara and Beitza says if he was eating an Eshkol, he's eating a bunch of grapes, and all of a sudden it went dark, meaning that Shabbat began, then there's a machloki between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel over there as to whether you have to stop eating. Rabbi Yeshua says, lo igmor, you have to stop, you can't continue eating. But that's only when it's Seder Kochavim that you have to stop. So just like over there, you don't have to stop at Seder Kochavim, so to hear for Kiddush, you only have to stop at Tzeta Kochavim. Now, the machloket here between them might revolve around what exactly the point of Kiddush is. Why do we make Kiddush on Friday night? We'll see it a little bit now, and we'll see a lot more of it in tomorrow's daf, which is, Kiddush is one idea in Kiddush, is that the person is Mekadesh the day of Shabbat. On the other hand, Kiddush also involves an idea of Hallel Vishevach, giving praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So over here, the question about when Shabbat begins might revolve around that issue. If it's a question of being Mekadesh the Yom, or being fully Mekadesh the day, then that should be from the moment that we are entering into the day, or even a Safek of the day, we have to be Mekadesh the day, we won't go on. Now then, if it has to be Hallel V'Shevach, if it has to be praise to Hashem for Shabbat, it must really be Shabbat before you can give Hallel V'Shevach. So therefore, maybe the Baal HaMor and the Rosh believe you need Seita Kochavim before you can do Kiddush. On the other hand, the Rif and the Ramban say, well, it's about being Mekadesh the Yom. As soon as it's Ben Hashmashot, already you have to be Mekadesh the Yom, because that's the beginning of the day, or could be the beginning of the day, so you have to be Mekadesh at that point. On the other hand, the Baal HaMor and the Rosh will say, well, Kiddush is about giving Shevach Hashem, and that's only when it's Shabbat, and Shabbat is only Vadai Shabbat when it's Seita Kochavim, so that's the point at which you have to make Kiddush. Right now, the Gemara continues, and says, Sover Mina, they thought to conclude from this, or to extrapolate this din, which is, Kehechi de Kava de Kiddush. Just like when you're going from Friday into Shabbat, then you have to stop the meal because Shabbat stops it. Kach Kovad Abdallah. So too on the tail end of Shabbat, if you're crossing over from Shabbat into Motzei Shabbat, then you have to stop eating in order to make Havdalah. Just like for going into Friday night, you have to stop to make Kiddush. Maybe the same is true the other way around, which is that you also have to stop to make Havdalah. Amalu Rav Amram, Achi Amar Rav. The Kiddush Kovat, Velo Avdalah Kovat. That's only true when it's dealing with Kiddush, not when it's dealing with Havdalah. Kiddush has that impact, Havdalah does not have that impact. That requirement that you do not stop for Havdalah, that is only true if you were already engaged in a meal and you're continuing into Motzei Shabbat. But we don't allow you to start a meal once already it's nightfall and you're chayav in Havdalah, then you can't start a meal. And even when we talked about that you don't have to stop, that's only true when you're eating. If you're drinking, lo. When you're drinking, then you have to stop because that's not really a su'uda that's continuing. And drinking is only impermissible when we're talking about wine or beer. But when it comes to water, we don't worry about it. There's actually here a machloket as to what or how to formulate this idea that there's a difference between achila and shtia. So if you look in the Mordechai says, that who the ain lifsok mishum da suda nimshechet, because when you have a suda, it continues ad shigmor until it finishes. V'chad amilti, it's the continuation. It's one thing, and since it's one thing, therefore you don't have to worry about the stopping of the meal. On the other hand, when it comes to shtia, shtia is something that isn't continuous. It's not something that carries over. On the other hand, when it comes to shtia, the ein keva the shtia. Shtia is not a fixed time. V'chol kos v'chol sheshoteh, every cup he drinks, kai, it's as if he's starting again. V'avalei katchalat shtia. It's like the beginning of drinking. U'lekach mafsikim, and therefore you have to stop. So it depends how you formulate this, but the way it's formulated from the side of this su'uda is that you don't have to stop because the su'uda is a continuing process. On the other hand, for shtia, you do have to stop because each shtia is as if you started anew, as if you started afresh. And so that's the difference between su'uda and shtia. The obvious nafkamina between those two tzadim is things that are like mizonot or snacks in the middle, things that's not a full-fledged su'uda, but it's not as temporary or snacky as taking a drink. What's the status there? Well, it matters which side you're looking at. If you're looking at it that a kos or drinking has this temporariness to it, maybe that's not true when you're reading mizonot. On the other hand, if you're talking about a suda, which is a continuum, maybe a snack doesn't have that. And that is the difference within the poskim as to whether on Motzei Shabbat, what do you have to be eating in order to be able to continue into Motzei Shabbat? If you're engaged in a suda, then it's not a problem. But if you're just drinking, that's clear you have to stop. What's in the middle, there we have differences in opinions. Now, the Gemara continues and says, that which we just said here about the fact that you're allowed to drink water before Havdalah, that is not necessarily muskam lakol. Not everybody agrees to that. Upligi de Rav Huna. That argues on Rav Huna. The Rav Huna, chazi lahau gavro, he saw this individual, deshata maya kodom Havdalah. He drank water prior to Havdalah. Amalei lo mistafi mar me'askara. You're not afraid of asphyxiation? Because that would be the punishment, as Tosfot says, mida keneged mida. Here he's benefiting his throat with the drinking when he's not supposed to be drinking. So mida keneged mida, he has something that happens to his throat. So he says that was inappropriate. It's clear that Rav Huna believes it's inappropriate to drink water before Havdalah. The Tana Mishmei de Rabbi Akiva, kol toim klum, kodem shiabdil, mitato baskara. Anybody who tastes a morsel before they make Havdalah, their mitato, their death is by askaras through this asphyxiation. Rabbanon, the Beit Ravashi lo kapte amayo. Rabbanon from the Beit Midrash, the Talmidim of Ravashi, were not makpid about drinking water prior to Havdalah. So here we have differences of opinions with regards to water. Our general practice is not to eat anything or drink anything prior to Havdalah. By mine Ravina, mirav nachem ra'yitza, mi shalo kidesh be'erev Shabbat. Someone does not make kiddush on erev Shabbat. Mau shikadesh v'leik olam kulo. Is he allowed to then make kiddush throughout or continue through the day? Amalei, he says, min de amri b'nei Rabbi Chiya, mi shelo yivdil b'motzei Shabbat. Someone who was not successful at making Havdalah on Motzei Shabbat, mavdil b'leik kol Shabbat kulo. He's allowed to continue making Havdalah through the week. Through the week doesn't mean the whole week, but until the beginning, first half of the week. Hachanami, so too over here, mi shelo kidesh b'erev Shabbat, mikadesh b'leik kol yom kulo. He can continue to make kiddush all day long. So just like by Havdalah, if you do not make Havdalah on Motzei Shabbat, one is permitted then to make Havdalah until Tuesday. I mean, it's until Wednesday, but not including Wednesday. You can go all the way through Tuesday, because that's connected, as we'll see in the Gemara, to the previous Shabbat. And same is true by Kiddush. If you're unsuccessful in making Kiddush on Friday night, then throughout the Shabbat, you can continue to make the Kiddush that you failed to do on that Friday night. So now, in terms of that Kiddush, we see that you have the ability to make up the Kiddush that you didn't make on Friday night, just like by Havdalah. If you didn't make it on Motzei Shabbat, you have the ability to make it up. Eitavet, is that really true? Leile Shabbat v'leile Yom Tov, when it comes to the night of Shabbat and the night of Yom Tov, yesh ben kedusha ala kos. They have to make kiddush ala kos. Yesh ben askara b'birkat hamazon. You have to mention them in birkat hamazon. Yale v'yavo ritze. Shabbat v'yom tov. Shabbat Yom Tov means the daytime of Shabbat and Yom Tov. Ein behem kedusha ala kos. You don't make kiddush. V'yesh ben askara b'birkat hamazon. But you do mention them in birkat hamazon. You do have yale v'yavo and ritze. If you really think someone who doesn't make Kiddush on Friday night continues through the day, then Shabbat b'yom tov nami mishkachalu d'yesh ben kiddush ala kos. Then you can find a manifestation of Kiddush on the cup, on Muyayin, on Shabbat day itself, and on Yom Tov day itself. Because d'ilo kaddish me'urta, if he doesn't make Kiddush at night, mekaddish l'machar, he makes Kiddush the next day. Now, we do make Kiddush on Shabbat morning, as the Rashbam points out, but that's just Bori Priya Gofen. That's just a brocha ala yayin. But we don't make a brocha of Kiddush. That's only on nighttime. But if you're suggesting to me that if you fail to make that brocha at night, you can make it during the day, then I do have a case where I can have Kiddush during the day. Samalei di loktoni. The Braita is not dealing with a case, or the Tosefta is not dealing with a case where if he didn't make it. It's saying what's the normal circumstance? Under normal circumstance, normal situation, the individual is not required to make kiddush during the day like he makes on Friday night. There's no bracha kiddush like you have on Friday night. You're right. If he failed to do it on Friday night, there are times where he would make it on Shabbat and Yom Tov, but that isn't the normal situation. The Braita is talking about normal situations, not in situations where a person failed to make kiddush on that Friday night. Now, the Rambam and the Tur actually have a machloket here. If a person intentionally misses kiddush on Friday night, whether he's allowed to make it up or not. The Rambam says you can make up the kiddush, and the Tur says you cannot make up that kiddush if you do it intentionally. The Bach explains the machloket between them as to whether they think kiddush looks like tefillah, looks like davening. Because by davening, if a person by mistake misses a tefillah, then they have what's called tashlumim. They're able to make up for the tefillah only if they're an ones or a shogeg, if it was done accidentally. But if they intentionally missed a tefillah, they may not make up that tefillah. And so therefore, that's what the Torah thinks. The Torah thinks it's like tefillah. And just like by tefillah, if you do it by mezid, you can't make it up, so too over here. On the other hand, the Rambam says that kiddush is different than tefillah. Tefillah, you're right, you can't make it up if it's by mezid, but kiddush you can make up. There's another, I would suggest, another possibility, which relates to a machloket by Havdalah as well, which maybe we'll discuss in tomorrow's daf. But the question could be is whether when you miss kiddush on Friday night and you make kiddush on Shabbat day, are you doing tashlumim? Are you making up for the kiddush that you didn't make? Or are you simply still in the chiyuv? Shabbat requires kiddush. If you didn't make it yet, you still have to make kiddush. It's not like you're making up for Friday night. You didn't make it on Friday night, but you can't ever make that up. You're simply making kiddush during the day because you have a requirement of kiddush for Shabbat. And that might be the source for the difference in opinion over here. The Tur, who says that you cannot make it up, thinks that it is tashlumim. It's a makeup. And if you fail to do it on purpose, we're not going to grant you that opportunity to do tashlumim. On the other hand, the Rambam thinks it's nothing to do with tashlumim. It's the Ikar Chiyuv of Kiddush applies to all of Shabbat. We discharge it as we enter into the Shabbat. But that doesn't mean that the Chiyuv doesn't continue. If you haven't discharged it, the Chiyuv is still extant and has nothing to do with tashlumim. And that might explain the difference in their opinion over here. Another question on this position. Kavod yom u kavod laila. When it comes to giving kavod, meaning giving the better stuff for the meals, is it better in the day or at night? Kavod yom kodem. We give more priority to the meal during the day. V'melo kos echad, if he only has one cup of wine, omer alav kiddush hayom. Then he makes kiddush on it. Mipnei, shekiddush hayom, kodem lekavod hayom. Because kiddush takes precedence over kavod hayom, over the meal during the day. So over here you have a hierarchy. The hierarchy is that kiddush at night is the first priority. The second priority is the meal during the day. And the third priority is the meal at night. So Gemara says if you have a choice between the meal at night and the meal in the day, you'll opt towards the meal of the day because that's more chashuv. When it comes to kiddush, kiddush trumps all of them. And therefore, if you have only one cup of wine, therefore you'd only make kiddush at nighttime. Now, v'mito, if you're right that you can make up kiddush during the daytime, the shavki ad-machar, don't make the kiddush at night. V'avid bei tarte. And the next day, you'll make kiddush and drink it. So it'll be both your kiddush and your kavod yom. Zamalei chaviva mitzvah b'shaito. We have this principle that doing a mitzvah in its proper time is chaviv. We learn that out from the emurim and the fats on Shabbat. The olot that are brought, the tamid that is brought on Shabbat. Even though you could bring those fats on the mizbeach at night and it would not be a violation of Shabbat, nevertheless, we do violate Shabbat. It's permissible, but we do violate it because chaviva mitzvah b'shato. We'd rather do the mitzvah in the proper time. And since we want to do the mitzvah in the proper time, we allow you to violate the Shabbat to put the fats on the mizbeach. So therefore, that is the reason why we would not opt to waiting until Shabbat day. We'd rather you make kiddush at night when you're supposed to make it. You know, mitzvah comes, let's do it and take care of it. We don't push it off until the next day. Ah, Tanya, don't we have a brayta? Omi amrina, chaviva mitzvah b'shato? Do we really say this principle of a mitzvah chaviva b'shato when it comes to brachot or kiddush? Ah, Tanya, we have a brayta. Nichnas the beit tov b'motzei Shabbat. Someone enters his house on motzei Shabbat, mevarech ala yain, vala maor, vala bisamim. He makes a brach on wine, and then on a morei moreish, and then borei minei bisamim, v'achar kach omer avdalah lakos. And then he makes Abdullah on the coast. This is the Shita at Beit Shammai, that Ma'or goes before Bisamim. V'im ein lo elakos echad. If he only has one cup of wine, Minucho ad achar amazon, then he waits until after he has his meal on Motzei Shabbat, because he's going to need the cup for benching. Umashal shengulun acharav, and then after he benches, he puts everything together. He makes the boyer priyagavim, which will cover the meal, and also be the beginning of Havdalah. Lo amrina chaviva mitzvah b'shato. Over there we don't say, oh, better to do Abdullah right away when it's in its proper time than rather to wait till after the meal so you can get both the cup for the meal and for Havdalah. How come there we don't say mitzvah, chaviva mitzvah bishato? So we're going to have a response in a second. First of all, Tosafot discusses here as well as back on Kuv Bet Amud Bet, why do we allow this person to eat? He didn't make Havdalah yet, he's not allowed to eat. So Tosafot gives two answers over there. One answer is that they started the meal during the daytime. And since they start during the daytime, they could continue onward into the night. Tosafot says the Lashon of the Gemara does not sound like that, and it sounds like you're allowed to start your meal at night. And he says that's the din. If a person's in a situation or a difficult situation like this, we give him permission to eat in order that he can have the bracha alakos, both for Birkat HaMazon and Havdalah. It's a special dispensation to eat before Havdalah, and Ein Ochanami, you're allowed to eat before Havdalah. In addition to that, he says it sounds from our Gemara that you have to be bench alakos, even if you're not a mezumen. And he says, goes back and forth, he brings Rayo to both Stadim. He says that he favors that the Olam is Noheg to only use a kos for Birkat HaMazon when there is a Mezuman. But he says there are a lot of proofs, especially this Gemara. And later on in the Gemara, when we have the Arba Kosot, one of the Arba Kosot is Al Birkat HaMazon. And over there, there's no requirement of Zimun to have that kos, the third kos of the night of Pesach. And so he thinks that there is a din of kos Al Birkat HaMazon. But nevertheless, the minhag ha'am and the way that we practice is that even people who bench alakos only do it when they have mezumen. They don't do it when they are simply benching except for the night of Pesach. And an additional interesting note here is the Aruch HaShulchan raises the question that we many times have wonderful food on Friday night. Food that's even better than Shabbat day. How come we don't have this problem of Kvod Yom Kvod Laila that Kvod Yom goes first? So Aruch HaShulchan makes a distinction. He says, it's only true that Kavod Yom gets precedence over Kavod Laila when they are exactly equal. I mean, the food would be just as good on Friday night and Shabbat day, so therefore we say to you, have it on Shabbat day. On the other hand, if at Friday night, when it could be hot, like soup, and something that could be really good on Friday night, and on Shabbat day it'll be kind of okay, there we'll give precedence to eating it on Friday night, because we don't demand for you to ruin the oneg of Shabbat or to make the food less tempting or tasty in order to have it during the day. So he says this principle of Kvod Yom and Kvod Laila only applies when they're completely equal. But if it's better at night because of the ability to heat it up going into Shabbat, then we will give precedence to eating it at night versus eating it during the day. Now the Gemara continues with the answer. The answer he says is they're questioning his principle. His principle was that when it comes to Kiddush, if you didn't make Kiddush at night, you can continue through the day. He extrapolated that. But just like by Havdalah, you can, when you don't make Havdalah at night, you can continue to make Havdalah during the day. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, so too by the Kiddush on Friday night, you can continue making it through the day. We have these questions that are posed to him. The last one being this Braita about Havdalah. So now he says to them, okay, Amalem, ano lo chakimia, ano, I'm not a wise man, v'lo chozana, Rashbam says a magid or a navi. I'm not alone in this. I'm one who knows. I learned in the Beit Midrash. I'm Misader, my Shmuot. The Rashbam actually has two girsaot over here as to what exactly all of this means. He's either the first girsa, as we explain now, which is that I'm not a wise person. I'm not doing this out of my wisdom. And I'm only doing this because this is what makes sense based on what I learned in the Midrash, Beit Midrash. And when I went over my learning, and this is what was agreed by everybody in the Beit Midrash and what I heard from my Rebbeim. That's one possibility of what Gemara Neves Sardana is. Rashi has a slightly different girsa in the Gemara, which is, Lo Chakima Velo Gemarna Ana. I'm not a wise man, and I'm not learning it from a Gemara. El Misadrano Ana. I'm someone who organizes information. And over here, when I put the information together with regards to Abdullah and Kiddush, this is the conclusion that I came to. This is the only way it makes sense. And this is the way they paskin in the Beit Midrash, like what I'm about to tell you, which is Shanilan ben Iluya Yoma Lafuke Yoma. There's a difference between bringing in Shabbat and letting Shabbat go out. And that is because when you're bringing in the Shabbat, it's something that whatever you want to do, Iluya Yoma called the Kama de Magdimin Le Adif. The more that you bring it in earlier, it's better, and it's beloved to you, meaning that the excitement of bringing the day shows kavod for the day when you bring it in earlier. Afuke yoma, when it comes to Abdallah, machrininle, we push it up as far as possible. So it doesn't look like to us a burden, meaning that you should not push the Shabbat out. You should delay or tarry as much as possible going out to the Shabbat. This is a Musar Askel with regards to letting out the Shabbat. There's no rush to end Shabbat. You don't have to daven in the first minyan that ends Shabbat. One should be patient about this. There's no reason to run away. The beautiful Shabbat, the Kedushat Shabbat, but it shouldn't be like it looks like we're, the second Shabbat is over or the most makel opinion. We want to end Shabbat. That's not the way it should be. It should be that a person wants to extend the Shabbat. A person wants to enjoy the Shabbat for a couple more minutes. Something that should be to him something that's beautiful and he wants to continue to extend. In short, one has to savor the Shabbat. That's both when you bring in the Shabbat and when you let the Shabbat go. It has to be something that's precious, something that you want to hold on to and you want to get to early. Now the Gemara concludes over here that from this Braita that we just brought down, that we discussed a question on Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, and then he answered there's a difference between bringing in the Shabbat and letting the Shabbat go out. The Gemara says about that, Shma mina mia matnita tamne. Our Braita teaches us 8 halachot that we can conclude from this Braita. Shma mina, the first thing is, hamavdil b'tfila tzarich shavdil ala kos. Someone who makes avdola in davening still has to make avdola when they get home ala kos. Chameim, the Gemara in Brachot discusses the different iterations of when they had havdala ala kos versus in tfila. But the conclusion from this Braita, and according to Tosafot and Rashi, that rove people daven Mariv and say Havdalah in Mariv. And despite that fact, the Braita says when a person comes home, he makes Havdalah. So you see that you have to make Havdalah lakos, despite the fact that you made Havdalah in Shul. There is a machloket amongst the Rishonim as to what the Havdalah lakos is matir. According to the Shulchan Aruch, the Rashi and the Ran, it's based on Rashi and the Ran, that the Havdalah lakos is matir achila vishtiya. As far as malocha is concerned, malocha is nitara yedei the havdalah that you make in Shmoneh Esrei. On the other hand, the Rambam, based on the Rif, says that havdalah lakos is matir achila vishtiya, but is also matir malocha, meaning that you can't do malocha just based on the havdalah that you make in tefillah. You have to do the havdalah lakos in order to be matir the Isser Melacha, just like you are to be Matir, the Achila and Shtiya. Because the Isser of Asiyat Melacha is similar to the Isser of Achila Shtiya, and their Isser is because of the Chuvav Havdalah. And since the Mitzvah of Havdalah is to do it ala kos, they're not Mutar until you do it ala kos. On the other hand, the way that the Rashi and the Ran view it is that Havdalah is to be Matir Melacha. Havdalah ala kos is an institution de Rabbanan. And that institution, the Rabbanon, was connected with Achila v'Shtiya to give it tokef. So the fact that it's Matir, Achila and Shtiya, but not have anything to do with Asiyat Melacha. So the Rambam believes you need like a full-fledged Abdullah in order to be Matir Melacha. So that means a Abdullah that is Alakos. As Rashi in the Ran says, simply saying Amavdu ben Kosh Tuchol is sufficient to get rid of the problem of Melacha. The Abdullah Alakos is an issue for things that are much more involved, like Achila and Shtiyah. There are some poskim actually differentiate between what is a big malacha and a small malacha, that the Havdalah and Tefillah helps for a small malacha, and a Havdalah lakos is for larger malachot, or more significant types of milachot. So that's the first conclusion we have from the Braita. The second conclusion that we have from the Braita is that Shma Mina Bracha Tuna Kos. That a Bracha requires a Kos over here. Because otherwise, if Bracha didn't require a Kos, then why are you waiting to make Birkat HaMazon after Havdalah? You could simply make Havdalah, and then you bench afterwards, and you won't require a kos. The fact that you do require a kos for Birkat HaMazon shows you that Brocha is to not a kos, that Birkat HaMazon requires a kos. And we discussed before about Tosafot discussing what does that mean. Is that only Ben Mizimon, or is that even for an individual? Shma mina kos shel Brocha tzarich shiur. Also, you can go from here is that a kos for Brocha has a minimum shiur. Because if it didn't have a minimum shiur, you could just split the cup in half and use half of it for Havdalah, and half of it for Birkat HaMazon. The fact that we don't allow you to split it in half here shows you that there's a minimum shiur, and obviously he doesn't have sufficient in this shiur that he has in a cup's worth to do both of them, to split it in half and to do both of them. Ushma mina, hamivarech, tzarech, shitom. The person who makes the bracha, the person who makes the Abdullah, the person who makes the Kiddush, has to taste from that which he made the bracha on. Now here there's a machlokah. The Rashbam says that either the person who made the bracha or made the Kiddush has to taste it, or one of the shomim, somebody who's there, who's listening to it, has to taste it. On the other hand, the Gonim believe that the person who made the Kiddush, the person who made the Abdullah, they themselves must taste it. It's not sufficient that one of the parties to the Kiddush or Abdullah listening tastes it. We saw this in the first daf of Arvei Pesachim with regards to the Tosafot, and whether you can be motzi other people with the Arba Kosot by the drinking of the Toim, and that relates to that issue that we discussed back then. So there is a machloket here as whether Amvarek Sarek Shiitom is literal, that he must drink from it, or it just means one of the parties there must drink from the kos. Ushmamina, tamo pagmo. And you also conclude from this that if you drink from it, if you taste it, it makes it pagum. Pagum means it's a cup that's already been used for a mitzvah or a bracha, and it may not be used again unless that is rectified, and we'll discuss later on how to rectify those in the perek. But right now, tamo pagmo means that simply if you taste it, it's done, you can't use it again. Because had it not been for that, then we would assume maybe there's a little more than the minimum shear of revi'it that you need for kosher bracha. So you make Abdullah, you taste a little bit, and then you have the revi'it left, and that you can use for Birkat HaMazon. But why don't we say that? We don't say that because once you've tasted it, it's no longer valid to be used as a kosher bracha anymore. And that's why it's not possible to do Abdullah, and then afterwards do the Birkat HaMazon. Ushmamina, you can also conclude from that, ta'am mavdil. Someone who eats, even in a time when they're not supposed to eat, meaning prior to Abdullah, they can still make Abdullah afterwards. Meaning that you don't have to wait, as the Rashbam says, you would think, lo yamtira the machar kod machila. You don't have to wait until the morning to make Abdullah before you eat in the morning. Has to be, you think, maybe only if you didn't eat can you make Abdullah. But if you did eat, you couldn't make Abdullah. So the Gemara says, no, you see here, he eats after Shabbat ends, before he makes Abdullah, and we give you permission to go ahead and make Abdullah afterwards. So that's another conclusion, Tam Avdil. Ushma mina, Omer bet kedushot, akos echad. And we also conclude that you can say two kedushot on one coast. That means you can both bench and you can make Abdullah on the same coast. So even though it's one coast, you can still do two different kedushot on this coast. Now we did mention above in the Gemara back on Kuf Bet Amud Bet that even though we say Ein Omrim bet kedushot akos echad, because there it was a case where you have another option. Over here, when you have no other option, we allow you to do it. So generally we say no, because it's osem mitzvot chavilot chavilot. But in this case, where there's no option, where there's no choice for the individual, we do allow them to do bet kedushot al keus echad. Ushmamino. And the next conclusion is, it's Beit Shammai, valibe de Rabbi Yehuda. This is Beit Shammai's opinion according to Rabbi Yehuda, as we mentioned before when we brought the Tosefta, we spoke about this Braita, which is that it's a case where the Ma'or goes before the Bisamim. So that is Rabbi Shammai's opinion within Rabbi Yehuda. Technically, it could be Beit Hillel within Rabbi Meir, but we say that that can't be the case. The Rashbam explains why, because the way that the Braita phrases it about the Mazon makes it clear that it's talking about the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and not the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi concludes over here, Tamo Pegamo, Mikosho Bracha Tzarech Shiur. The fact that when you taste it, it makes it Pagum. And the fact that the coast requires a Shiur, Chada Miltihi. They are one thing. They are the same reason, which is v'hachikamar. My time atamo pegamo. Why is tasting it ruin it? Mishum the kos shel bracha tzarich shiur. Because once you taste it, you take it below the shiur. So here it's not clear whether Rav Ashi argues on the ikar halacha of tamo pegamo. He says when you taste it, you don't necessarily ruin the cup, as opposed to the others who believe that. Or he says that that just happens to be the circumstance here. It's a case where he has exactly revit and is tasting it. Ruins it for, because it makes it less than revit. But ain't ochanami, if you had more than revit and you tasted it, you'd also have the din of te'amo pigamo. So the Tosafot says over here that Ravashi lo palig amorai. Ravashi doesn't argue on the other amorim, the samuch. Shapir te'amo pigamo. He holds of tam, there's a problem of tam. When you taste it, it makes it pagum. He said, you just can't conclude it from this braita because you're not sure from this braita that he had more than a shiur. The only thing you can conclude is that you need a minimum shiur. And that's why ta'am could affect it. On the other hand, from the Rashbam, it sounds more like the fact that tamo is not a din in pagum, meaning that if you taste it, it doesn't ruin it, and Rav Ashi is arguing on those other amoraim. Rav Yaakov ba'idi kabed achatzva begima. He used to be careful about a pitcher of wine that it wasn't pagum. And not just the cup for Giddush, but if he from a smaller pitcher, not from the large barrels of wine, of course, from a smaller pitcher, he wouldn't use it again. He It used to be careful about not having a cup. Pagum, you can't use it because a kosher bracha requires that the coast not be pagum. And that's the way that we paskin, that if you taste from something, if you drink from something, it makes it pagum, and then you can't utilize it for a mitzvah, lechatchila. In addition, the Rashbam mentions that this din of pagum is only a din lechatchila, is not a din bidyavid. Bidyavad, if you do not have a coast that's not pagum, you can use that coast that is pagum. And Marbar Vashi kabir afila chavita begimta. He was even careful about a chavit. Now again, not the large barrels, but as the Rashbam says, chaviot, ketanot, a small chavit that he was makpid on it. And as Rashbam and Tosafot point out, even if you have that tamo pigamo, that when you taste it, when you've done a mitzvah with it, it's pagum, you can't use it for another mitzvah, still, if you want to drink it, you still have to say bori priagofen. You still have to make a brocha or biker tanenin if you want to drink that wine. It's just that you can't do another mitzvah on that cup of wine. Okay, we'll stop over here.